This afternoon we're looking at the Psalm 80, another Psalm of Asaph. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root. And it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it. The wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. In this psalm, there are two primary illustrations which are used to denote the relationship that Israel had with God. In the verse 1, God is called the Shepherd of Israel. We often think of Christ as being a shepherd. However, in the book of Psalms, the shepherding metaphor is only used of God twice. In the Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And again here in the Psalm 80, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. God is referred to as being a shepherd only twice in the book of Psalms. And yet, when we think of the Psalms, we think of nothing else but the shepherd because of the beauty and the glory and the majesty of the language that is employed in the Psalm 23. Well, here we have the same thought again. Asaph is praying, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. This is a metaphor that tells us that God had a very special place in his heart for Israel. He looked after his people. He fed his people. He protected his people. He was the shepherd of Israel. No other nation in these times could say that the great God of creation was their shepherd. But Israel could say that. God throughout the ages had been their shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ would take up this thought of God being a shepherd. And he would, of course, teach the apostles and he would teach us that he is the shepherd. He described himself in John 10 as the good shepherd. He described himself as the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He described himself as the good shepherd who would protect his flock so that no harm would come to them. Let me ask you the question today. Are you one of the Lord's sheep? Surely everyone is a sheep of Christ. No, not at all. The Saviour talked about the day of judgment, and he said that on that day there would be sheep and there would be goats. And the sheep would be in the right hand, the goats in the left. The sheep would be welcomed into the kingdom. The goats would be sent away to everlasting damnation. Therefore, not everyone belongs to the Lord's flock. Are you a Christian today? I'm not asking you, do you have a membership roll? I'm not asking you, is your name on a church membership roll? I'm not asking you, do you pay into your church? I'm not asking you, do you follow through the rituals of your church? I'm asking you, do you belong to the Lord? Have you asked the Lord for mercy? Are you forgiven? Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Have you been to Calvary? Have you gone to that place by faith? Have you asked Christ to save you. Do you know today that you belong to the Lord? You can experience this very thing when you ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and into your life. The psalmist here was praying to the shepherd of Israel. You can pray to the good shepherd. You can talk to him. You need to talk to him about your sin, confess your sin, and you can tell him about every burden, and you can have a special relationship with this one who is the shepherd. This one who is the shepherd is described here as shining. In fact, this is what Asaph is praying for, that the shepherd of Israel might shine. He said, "Turn us again and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." To stand in the light of the shining face of Christ, to see his light, for he said, "I am the light of the world." To have your life filled with his light. This world is a place of darkness, and perhaps there is darkness in your soul today, darkness in your heart. I pray that Jesus will shine upon you, and you will turn to him, and you will find that peace that is found alone in the Saviour. I said there are two metaphors here. The first is of the shepherd. But there is another metaphor in this psalm that tells us so much about God's relationship with his people. It is the vine. Israel is described as being a vine that was once in Egypt. But God transplanted that vine. He pulled it up out of Egypt. And he brought the children of Israel across the wilderness into the promised land, the land where the Jewish people live today, the land that was known as Canaan in those times. And then it became known as Israel and Judah. And now in these days, it is known as Israel. In a former time, of course, it was also known as Palestine. And the vine, that is the Jewish people, they were planted in Canaan. They were planted in Israel. But unfortunately, things went bad for them because they sinned against God. And God allowed what the psalmist called a wild boar of the forest. He allowed the enemy to come and to ravage that land and to break down the cities and to carry the people away captive. Things went bad for the people in the land that God brought them to. Not because God had forsaken them, but because they had forsaken God, and therefore God had to chasten them for their sinfulness. And this psalmist, he was heartbroken because he was looking at the state of his people, and he knew they had got themselves into a terrible state because of their sin. But yet he was conscious that the vine was still there. It was still God's vine. And therefore he prayed, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself." Water the vine. Allow the vine to prosper again, because it's your vine, Lord. You see, the vine represented something. It represented the unity between Israel and God. It would always be God's vine. And so it is in this New Testament age. The Lord took up this metaphor in John 15. He said, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." When we are Christians, we enter into a relationship with Christ. Just as the branch is connected to the vine, so we are connected to Christ. And just as the vine draws moisture from the air and from the rain and even from the ground, and as the goodness passes through the stem out into the branches so the branches can bear fruit, so every Christian has life because of his or her union with Christ. The life flows from Christ. And we can be fruitful and we can live good lives in this world, productive lives, because of Christ, not because of us. No Christian stands by himself or herself. If a Christian thinks that he or she has accomplished what is being wrought out in the Christian life, that person's deceiving themselves. It's only the life of Christ. It's only the power of Christ. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And there's a promise for you today, dear Christian. You're part of the vine, and Christ is the vine. And you're a branch, and you're connected to him, and you can face anything, and you can serve the Lord because of his life, the life of Christ flowing through us, the vine that God has planted. And in the verse 17, the psalmist says something wonderful, and with this we close. "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself." Who is the man at God's right hand? Asaph saw one at God's right hand. He saw Christ. And Christ is there today. At God's right hand, he's our priest. At God's right hand, he prays for us. At God's right hand, he is a king. He's a prince. He's a saviour. He has the most important position in the universe. The man at God's right hand. Have you that relationship with him today? Are you part of him? Are you a member of his flock? Are you trusting him? I pray that you will, and I thank you for listening.